Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And breaking news as we come on the air this noon hour, a stunning development in the world of golf. The PGA announcing a merge with LIV Golf. Why now and what this means for the sporting world moving forward.
And take a look at this level one risk for severe storms this afternoon. It's for parts of the Sandhills, including Fayetteville. I'll show you the timeline coming up. The PGA Tour has reached a landmark agreement to unify the game of golf on a global basis. Good afternoon. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. LIV Golf is backed by Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, an entity controlled by the Saudi Crown Prince. That has been embroiled in antitrust lawsuits with the PGA Tour over the last year. This new deal would end all pending litigation. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center right now with what this could mean for the sport, Ken.
Jeff and Michelle, nobody saw this coming. I mean, when we saw this news come across our desk a little while ago, we all stopped and said, is this for real? Well, of course, as you just said, Jeff, the Saudi-backed LIV Golf was formed to compete directly with the PGA Tour. Now, LIV burst onto the scene last year, luring big-name players like Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka with guaranteed contracts. Some the hundreds of millions of dollars PGA players like Tiger Woods and greats like Jack Nicklaus criticized LIV Golf. The two groups were engaged in bitter litigation over the tour events, players. The PGA drew a line in the sand saying golfers who play LIV events cannot play in PGA tour events, but that did not include the majors like the PGA Championship that was played last month, which Brooks Koepka won. After all this acrimony, why now? Well, I did some checking with a lot of the sports writers because they're all writing about it. And the consensus is the PGA Tour was just tired of the infighting, tired of the name calling, tired of the finger pointing, tired of the litigation. So they decided to merge. And now these once bitter rivals will now join forces and form a new league on a global basis.
Ken, thanks for that wrap up. There'll be questions about caving in and giving in to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Plenty more of that throughout the day, certainly. It's busy weather day with wildfire smoke and a level one risk for severe storms today.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at who has the chance for storms this afternoon, Elizabeth. It's down here in the Sandhills, so it's most of Cumberland County, including Fayetteville, all of Hoke County, a little piece of Lee County and Harnett County, and then most of Mora County. That's where our level one risk is. Biggest threat would be from damaging winds and possibly some hail. This is going to come through pretty quickly, and a lot of it looks like it's developing a little bit closer to the coast. Let's take a look at Futurecast, and we kick things off, and we're looking at some cloud cover here and there, especially down in some of our southern counties. Watch this right at 1:30. An isolated shower shows up here on Futurecast here in Johnston County over into Wayne County. That one does not look like it's going to develop into a thunderstorm, but watch what happens here at 2:30. We begin to see some cells. Notice the ones there off to our south and east where we have some of the yellows and reds popping up, and then all of that slides eastward. So the computer models are not terribly on board with seeing these scattered thunderstorms. This particular one shows our best chance, but again, a lot of that develops just in the very far southern part of the viewing area and continues to slide off to the east. We have another similar scenario for tomorrow. It's a level one risk in the same sort of area. We'll walk through that with Futurecast coming up in just a bit. Tomorrow looks like a better chance that we would have rain with a cold front coming through. Take a look at the airport. You can see we continue to have hazy skies. We have wildfires in Canada and a northerly flow. Those northerly winds are pushing that haze into our area. We have a code yellow ozone forecast for today, which is moderate, something that we see fairly regularly in the summertime. But a code orange is an action day. Code orange means it's unhealthy for sensitive groups like young children, the elderly, people with asthma or other respiratory issues. And that's the forecast for tomorrow. One thing about tomorrow is we'll have more cloud cover and a better chance for rain. That may help to settle some of the pollution, some of the smoke in the atmosphere. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a little bit. But we do have more on the air pollution coming up. Michelle?
Yeah, that's right, Elizabeth. A lot of people saw that haze from the smoke this morning, including myself. Elizabeth was just talking about the air quality. 73 million Americans are under air quality. quality alerts today from New York here and, you know, all the way in North Carolina. That's because smoke is drifting from the huge wildfires burning in Canada, as Elizabeth mentioned. WRL's Chelsea Donovan joins us with how we can stay safe, Chelsea.
Yeah, I just want to give you a good perspective here. We're at Dix Park at the Flower Fields, and let me step aside so you can really see with the Raleigh skyline, that haze in the air. It almost looks like fog or overcast skies. As you mentioned, you may be stepping outside today and seeing this haze or even smelling that faint smell of smoke in the air. I know I did this morning. Now, the wildfires, as Elizabeth mentioned, in Canada, over 1,000 miles away have caused a spike in that air pollution that's now affecting our area and prompting these air quality alerts. No worries, though, for most folks in the air, although tomorrow we could see a code orange issued, which then would pose that threat for sensitive groups of people.
While we have the smoke around, people who are young children, the elderly, if you have asthma or other respiratory issues, you just don't want to overdo it with this amount of particulates, this amount of smoke in the atmosphere. For, you know, general healthy adults, you can go about your daily life, feel free to exercise.
And just a handful of folks I can see over to my right-hand side enjoying a picnic. That skyline, just a bit different than it normally is on a usual noontime during the week. But, of course, keep it right here to WREL for the latest on those air quality alerts.
All right, Chelsea Donovan, live at Dix Park. Thanks, Chelsea. And Durham police are investigating a shooting that happened just before 9 o'clock this morning. They responded to North Driver Street, where they found one person dead. WREL's Monica Casey explains what happened when police arrived on scene.
Part of Taylor Street in East Durham remains blocked off as DPD investigates a shooting with the mobile command unit and half a dozen police cars on scene. Durham police and EMS responded to a crisis call this morning. They say when they arrived on scene here, a man was having a crisis. He told them an argument had occurred and another man had been shot. Officers searched the home and found that victim. He was pronounced dead on scene. DPD tells me the man in crisis was transported to a local hospital. DPD says based on their preliminary investigation, this was an isolated incident. This is still an active investigation. Monica Casey, WREL News in Durham.
And breaking at noon, troopers say a street racing was a factor in a crash that killed a 66-year-old Durham woman. Troopers say two cars were racing on U.S. 15 in Granville County Friday night. One of them crossed the center line and hit an oncoming car head-on. Brenda Gregory was killed. Terrell Curry is charged in her death. Friends of Gregory tell WREL she was a caring woman who worked at Sandy Ridge Elementary in Durham.
Just after midnight, another earthquake was recorded in western North Carolina. It's the seventh one in 2 weeks, all within a mile of each other. It sounds like a lot, but experts say this isn't what you might think. WRL meteorologist Brian Schrader has been brushing up on his seismology. He's here now with some context on what's happening, Brian.
Is one of the topics that we cover. Want to update you about what we've learned about this morning's earthquake. It was a magnitude 2.5, and it happened just after midnight with that epicenter about 2 miles north of Canton. And as we said, this is the seventh earthquake in the past 2 weeks in that area and the third in as many days, all of them centered within a mile of each other near Canton, west of Asheville. Well, I asked NC State geologist Dr. Paula Figueredo what is going on here. She says it's too soon to say exactly what's happening, but it is possible that contact between rocks underground is acting as a kind of fault, and that can lead to small earthquakes.
It's a sort of a scar. It can work as a scar. And so those are places where you may tend to have little quakes, but we don't know if that's the case.
She says it's also possible that this is a previously unknown fault, similar to the one that produced the 2020 earthquake in Sparta, North Carolina, in the mountains, which we felt here in the Triangle. So will there be stronger earthquakes after this swarm of earthquakes? Dr. Figueredo says it is impossible to say, but it's always a good idea to keep in mind that you need to be prepared for any kind of natural disaster, whether it's a thunderstorm, tornado, hurricane, or maybe even an earthquake.
All right, true that. We will wait and see. Brian, thank you.
The city of Raleigh is buying the old Division of Motor Vehicles headquarters on New Bern Avenue for $20 million from the state. The 5-plus-acre complex has been vacant since the DMV moved to Rocky Mount. City leaders have not announced final plans for the property, but they're considering affordable housing mixed in with other uses, potentially including a daycare.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we want to take you live now to the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts for the funeral services of Conan Morgan. Conan, he led political campaigns for a number of Democrats in our state and all across the country. That's one of our county commissioners sharing some stories about working with Mr. Morgan. About 5 minutes ago, former Congressman Bob Etheridge also shared memories of working with Conan Morgan. Again, these are live pictures coming in from the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts. The funeral services for Conan Morgan. He was a graduate of Garner Magnet High School. He also attended NC State as well. Morgan died last month in a boating accident in Beaufort. Wake County Commissioners honored his memory last night. And, of course, many people are gathered here at the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts to pay tribute to his legacy as well.
Kent, thanks. Elizabeth City State University is receiving more than $1.5 million to restore two campus historical landmarks. The grants are from the National Park Service's Historic Preservation Fund and the African American Civil Grant Programs. The funding will support the university's Rosenwald Practice School and Principal's House, both completed in 1922. Together, the buildings will house the future Northeastern North Carolina African American Research and Cultural Heritage Institute. A separate $75,000 award will be used to research, design, build, and install exhibits in the rehabilitated buildings. Today marked the 79th anniversary of the D-Day landings. On this day in 1944, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, France. More than 4,400 Allied soldiers were killed there, 2,500 of them Americans. Thousands of Germans were killed or wounded. French President Emmanuel Macron attended today's ceremony.
Next at noon, no arrest in Florida, the Florida shooting of a mom standing on her neighbor's porch. How the state's Stand Your Ground law is at play here.
Also, summertime safety at a time when your kids get a little more freedom. How to make sure they're being safe.
Plus, shocking claims by a UFO whistleblower. What he says the U.S. has in its possession, and it's not human in nature.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The family of a Florida woman shot and killed in front of some of her children is asking for answers now and an arrest in the case. Dave McDaniel reports the sheriff says the state's Stand Your Ground law is at play here.
Her children ran to my house, banging on the door, asking for us to call the police that their mother was shot.
It was around 9 in the evening Friday, kids playing across from their home on 107th Lane in Marion County, and a neighbor reportedly had an issue with where they were.
She has called the cops just for them playing. She calls them names.
On Friday, whatever happened between the neighbor and the children, it led the children's mother, Ajike Owens, to the woman's door.
Whether it be banging on the doors, banging on the walls, and threats being made. And then at that moment is then when Ms. Owens was shot through the door.
The sheriff stressing his agency has more facts to gather. Also elevating the stress of the moment, items reportedly thrown at the kids, skates according to the sheriff.
It was a pair of skates that was thrown at the children.
A family friend says Owens was going to retrieve an iPad left behind by one of the kids.
The mother went to get the iPad and you shoot her? Who does that?
She wants investigators to act.
Charge her. You know who did it. Charge her.
I wish our shooter would have called us instead of taking actions into her own hands.
The sheriff adding they have more investigative work to do.
And what we have to rule out is whether the deadly force was justified or not before we can even make the arrest.
Also at the briefing, local community leaders asking for patience.
We'd like to get to the crux of the matter as to what happened. We'd like to calm all emotions that are running through the community and let law enforcement and our legal system play it out.
That was Dave McDaniel reporting. Authorities are interviewing neighbors as well as Owen's 9-year-old son who was standing next to her when she was shot.
The prime suspect in the 2005 disappearance of Natalie Holloway plans to fight extradition to the U.S. Holloway was last seen with Vandersloot and two other men leaving a nightclub in Aruba 18 years ago. Her body has not been found. Back in 2012, an Alabama judge declared Holloway legally dead. No one has been charged in her death. And a woman condemned as Australia's worst female killer walked free after serving 20 years in prison. The New South Wales Attorney General pardoned Kathleen Fallbaig after new research found reasonable doubt around her guilt. Fallbaig was jailed in 2003 on three counts of murder and one of manslaughter over the deaths of her four babies over a decade from 1989.
My eternal gratitude goes to my friends and family, especially Tracy and all of her family, and I would not have survived this whole ordeal without them. Today is a victory for science, and especially truth. And for the last 20 years I have been in prison, I have forever and will always think of my children, grieve for my children, and have missed them and loved them terribly. Thank you.
In each case, Fallbaig was the one who found their bodies, but there was never any physical evidence that she had caused their deaths.
The unofficial start to summer is underway, and before you and your family soak in all the fun, Jackie Banez takes a look at what you need to know to help keep everyone safe.
With school almost out, public health experts say it's the perfect time to refresh your summer safety knowledge and keep your kids out of harm's way. When it comes to cooling down at the pool, Heather Bowling of Purdue University says you should always have a designated person in charge of watching your kids when they're in or near the water.
Somebody that has in mind that they are the eyes at the moment, they're on duty, and if they need to step away, they talk to another adult and say, like, hey, can you be the eyes for this amount of time? That way, nothing gets missed.
According to the CDC, drowning is the number one cause of death for kids ages 1 through 4. But pools aren't the only places children could be prone to injuries. Whether they're on a bike, scooter, or skateboard, Bowling says kids should be wearing a properly fitted helmet and shares how you can coax them into one, even if they fuss.
It's tempting to use hand-me-downs or the helmet from last season, but our kiddos grow really fast and they don't always fit properly. Let them pick out the helmet, maybe buy a cheap pack of reflective stickers and let them go to town decorating the helmet.
Besides helmets, sunscreen should also be worn and reapplied.
We recommend SPF 15 to 30 is sufficient. Mineral-based sunscreens are better. And then reapplying every 2 hours.
That was Jackie Banez reporting. And remember to check all that playground equipment to make sure it's not too hot to the touch for your children when they get on it. Probably don't have to worry about that today. The sun is not shining that brightly. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center, although our temperature is getting up there.
Yeah, we're starting to warm up. We're going to climb into the 80s for this afternoon. We take a look at Durham. And boy, I think Durham, this view really tells the story very well. It looks very gray here. But what we're seeing, of course, is the smoke that is filtered down from the wildfires in Canada. You can almost see a little bit of shadow there. You can see some shadows from the trees. So the sun's doing its best to peek through, but it is definitely having a bit of a challenge there with all of the smoke in the atmosphere here. 81 is our current temperature in the triangle. Our dew point's up at 62 right now, so that's still pretty tolerable. We'll climb into the mid to upper 80s as we head through the afternoon. Our air quality, official air quality alert today is code yellow. Now, code yellow is something that we tend to see quite often in the summertime, and it is not a day that anyone needs to take action. It's just a notice, say, hey, it's not green, it's now yellow. But then tomorrow, the northern part of the viewing area, including Johnston County, Wake County, and northward, is under a code orange alert, and that is an alert day. And that means that young children, the elderly, anybody with health issues like heart and lung disease should limit time outdoors, definitely not overdo it. It looks like that we'll be under a yellow down to the south. The interesting thing about tomorrow is we'll have more cloud cover, and we'll also have some rain that begins, say, mid to late afternoon, and that may help to wash some of the particles that are causing the smoke
smoke out of the atmosphere. That's the hope. So we may see some improvement, at least in the afternoon tomorrow. This is a look, a still picture of the satellite view from NASA, where you can see all these fires. You can see the streaks of smoke there in Quebec. So lots of them, dozens of wildfires there. We're going to shift gears, and I'll show you now the loop of the satellite. It's a little harder to pick out the fires on this loop because we have more cloud cover that's now moved to the west. But you can definitely see the smoke here. See where it looks hazy there? So there's the smoke from the wildfires. We'll widen the view out. You can see a lot of that off the coast here from Boston, really off the coast of Virginia. But a good bit of that also streaming down into North Carolina as well. And we're going to be seeing that at least for the next couple of days. Here's another look at this. This is the computer model, and you can see some of that heavier smoke there in the yellow and oranges. We'll push this into motion, and notice we see a bit of a band that picks up a bit. It becomes a little thicker between, say, 5 and 6 p.m. and stays with us overnight and into the day tomorrow. Again, that's why we're looking at that code orange for tomorrow. There's 7 a.m. tomorrow, but notice what happens late in the day. We start to see it easing up. That may well be with the rain and with the front that we have coming through. We'll begin to lower the particulates a bit. This afternoon, just to expect that hazy sunshine. Temperatures in the upper 80s to around 90, 91 in Fayetteville. Our normal high is 85. Behind Wednesday's front, we're going to see a high of 79 on Thursday, so we see a nice drop. And for the most part, our dew points are going to be in the 50s, making it feel pretty comfortable for the next several days. We're looking at 83 tomorrow. Not only will we still have the haze, but we'll have additional cloud cover that'll keep our temperatures a little bit cooler. We're going to walk through the front on Wednesday. We actually have a level one risk for severe storms for Wednesday. We're going to talk about today and tomorrow's level one risk and walk you through the timeline coming up in just a bit.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Here's what we're working on today on WRAL News. First at 4, Raleigh police are pushing for higher salaries for officers. We compare the pay to other cities and their arguments to city leaders.
Plus, remember this story about building code violations missed during a family's home build? Today at 6, 5 on Your Side has the response from the county on the controversial build and the community response as well. Still ahead this noon, the new Barbie movie may have led to a shortage of pink paint. How the production prolonged a supply chain problem that started way back in the pandemic.
Plus, Microsoft pays up in a privacy dispute what they plan to do with the data collected on children who played Xbox Live.
The new Barbie movie almost single-handedly led to a shortage of pink paint. And airlines have rebounded from the pandemic in a big way. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Global airlines are forecast to make almost $10 billion in profits this year. That's the estimate from the International Air Transport Association, the industry's main lobbying group. And the figure is a big rebound from the $183 billion in losses the aviation industry was hit with between 2020 and 2022 during the pandemic. But now air travel has bounced back sharply. A revenue from cargo flights is another reason for the strong profit outlook. And airlines are also benefiting from lower jet fuel prices and the reopening of China. Apple has introduced its first major new product in nearly a decade. It's a mixed reality headset called the Vision Pro. Users will be able to experience virtual reality and digital apps, as well as movies and other content. That content will be blended in and overlaid with the real world, something Apple says will shift the way we look at technology. The Vision Pro headset will sell for $3,499 and is expected to be available early next year. The Barbie movie may have contributed to a shortage of pink paint. The movie's production designer told Architectural Digest that construction of Barbie Land caused a run on a fluorescent shade of pink. The company supplying the paint says Barbie definitely used a lot of it, but added that it was already dealing with supply chain issues from the pandemic. Barbie hits theaters July 21st. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Microsoft will pay $20 million to settle a privacy dispute and delete the data at the center of the lawsuit. The Federal Trade Commission says the tech giant collected personal information on children through its Xbox Live gaming service and didn't let parents know the full extent of the data it gathered. Kids under the age of 13 may have shared images, video, and audio of themselves on their account profiles, as well as their real names.
Calling all Wake County artists and designers. You're invited to submit a portfolio for the chance to design the 2023 Sir Walter Raleigh Awards Certificate. You can also win a cash prize out of it. Your design should reflect Raleigh's values, culture, diversity, experiences, interests, history of the city. You do have to be 18 years of age or older, living, working, or attending school in Wake County to be eligible. Visit the City of Raleigh website to get more information on that. Ahead at 12:30, a bill to prevent party switching in North Carolina. The reason behind the Democrats' decision to file this legislation and how it could affect future races.
Plus, an out-of-this-world claim. Coming up, the evidence handed over to Congress showing government officials have debris from an alien spacecraft. That's next. But first, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Democratic state lawmakers here in North Carolina are filing a bill to discourage other lawmakers from switching parties. WRAL's NC Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live now to walk us through what is in this proposal. And Laura, this bill is a direct response to Representative Tricia Cotham's unexpected switch from Democrat to Republican, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the sharpest rebuke yet that we've seen from her former fellow Democratic lawmakers to her party switch back in April. She ran as a pro-choice Democrat, but then changed parties in April and voted for new abortion restrictions. One Senate Democrat called that move the most offensive case of voter fraud in recent state history. The bill would require any legislator who changes parties after they're elected to undergo a special election to keep that seat. They would also be required to refund any campaign donations from members of their former party. It wouldn't affect Representative Tricia Cotham, but it would apply to any similar cases in the future. Senator Natasha Marcus represents Mecklenburg County, where Cotham's district is. She said Cotham's constituents are angry about her switch, especially since it gave Republicans the veto-proof majority they needed to push through laws on abortion and guns.
Those voters and donors could not believe that such a blatant bait and switch was allowed. They asked, wait, is that legal? Can she do that? What about everything she said about being a Democrat, which I believed?
Now, 19 other states have what are called recall elections to remove a sitting official from their post. North Carolina does not have the recall, and lawmakers here have been reluctant to change that. This bill is not likely to get a hearing, and neither Ms. Representative Cotham nor House and Senate Republican leaders have yet responded to our request for comment on it. Michelle?
All right, Laura Leslie, live for us this afternoon. Thanks, Laura. Today, federal investigators are back at the site of the plane crash in Virginia. Crews with the NTSB and FAA will likely spend days at this site of the wreckage trying to figure out what happened. WRAL's Ashley Rowe spoke with the plane's owner, John Rumpel. Rumpel told her his adopted daughter and his two-year-old granddaughter were on that plane. He says the two were headed back to their home in New York after spending 4 days with him in Banner Elk, North Carolina.
What do you want the public to know about your granddaughter?
The only thing I wanted to know is that she was the most wonderful child in the world. And she's done so much for me.
Investigators will likely be at the crash site for at least a couple more days. Right now, it's believed the plane lost pressure, causing the pilot to lose consciousness. He was not responsive to the military fighter pilots who tried to intercept travel through restricted airspace over Washington, D.C.
Today's county-by-county coverage takes us to Moore and Nash counties. Tonight, you can share your thoughts on how your tax dollars should be spent if you live in Southern Pines. Town Council is holding a public hearing on its budget for the fiscal year, which starts next month. They could vote on the plan right after the meeting. The proposed budget does not raise property taxes. Tonight's meeting starts at 6 at the town's police department on Pennsylvania Avenue. Graduates in Nash County will put on their caps and gowns and get their diplomas this week. Tar River Academy has commencement tonight at 6 at the Rocky Mount Event Center. Expect traffic around that area if your evening commute takes you that way. Northern and Southern Nash High Schools have their ceremonies Friday. On Saturday, it'll be Rocky Mount High and Nash Central High graduating.
A new incentive for school bus drivers in Wake County could improve the reliability of your child's bus through the summer. Today, the school board will consider a $300 bonus per week for drivers who work every day during the summer program. It would apply to mainly drivers who are already working with the school system. The board is hoping to get around 400 drivers to help out this summer, fewer than the 600 usually needed during the year. But officials say an ongoing driver shortage is making hiring hard.
The bus driver shortage isn't just here in Wake County. It's not just in North Carolina. It's throughout the nation. So anything we can do to show them that they are a valuable part of our team, you know, we'll give it a shot.
The school board meets tonight at 5:30.
An out-of-this-world claim is making waves all across the country. A military whistleblower has revealed a top-secret program is withholding alien spacecraft from the government and the general public. Lauren Blanchard takes a closer look at the claims.
In a stunning out-of-this-world claim, a former U.S. intelligence official and Air Force veteran claims the government is covering up the truth about aliens.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number.
David Grush handed over extensive classified information to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General, saying it exposes top secret programs that have retrieved and studied debris from alien spacecraft, which he says have been intentionally withheld from lawmakers and the American public.
These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, you know, call it spacecraft that have either landed or crashed.
His claims coming just days after a first of its kind NASA hearing on UFO sightings around the world.
It's now our collective responsibility to investigate these occurrences with the rigorous scientific scrutiny that they deserve.
And some lawmakers agree the military and intelligence community need to be more transparent.
I think we should be open to hearing it and telling the American people as much as we possibly can.
I think people are ready to hear whatever's out there. Maybe it's a man-made aircraft, maybe it's otherworldly. Stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned. That was Lauren Blanchard reporting. NASA is expected to release its final report on its UFO study by the end of July.
A lot of people anticipating that, I'm sure. Well, a local woman's dream to help others find their self-worth is coming true. Tiffany Long's just opened Royal Lash Beauty Bar and Boutique on U.S. 70 in Garner, and she's using her business to help women.
The mental health part. I would like Royal Lash to become big enough to where we can have mediators and counselors and financial advisors available to assist women. Women starting over, women just now getting their bearings, young women who don't know that need direction in life. I would like these things to be in place.
Her spa offers eyelashes, facials, henna, tooth gems, and small group networking. You can read the rest of what Tiffany's doing on WREL.com.
Still straight ahead this noon, June is Men's Health Month. We'll tell you what tops the list when it comes to health concerns.
And part-time job workers are on the rise. Why people say they prefer it over full-time.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, another warning to parents and caregivers to stop using these boppies and the Pottery Barn loungers after two more infants' deaths were reported. These boppies were recalled last September after eight babies died while on the pillow-like products. Now, since the recall, a total of 10 infant deaths, including the two we just mentioned, have been connected to the loungers. More than 3 million newborn loungers were recalled due to the risk of infants suffocating if they roll over, or move, or place in a position where they can obstruct their breathing. Of course, you can read more about this story on WREL.com.
It's heartbreaking, Ken. Thank you. June is Men's Health Month. A survey from the Cleveland Clinic is shedding light on what men know about their health and what issues concern them most. Brittany Harris reports it appears sexual health is at the top of the list.
When it comes to men's health as they age, a survey from Cleveland Clinic found sexual health is a big concern. Of those polled, 44% are worried about erectile dysfunction, 39% with loss of sex drive, and 36% with low testosterone.
I think that this is something that men realize can
change with age, and many men may not realize that it can happen to men of all ages.
Urologist Dr. Peter Bajic says the survey had some other interesting findings as well. Like more than half of men, about 58%, incorrectly think low testosterone is the most common cause of erectile dysfunction.
In fact, most men who have erectile dysfunction, particularly over age 50, it's much more likely to be a consequence of cardiovascular disease. It can be due to diabetes and all sorts of different things. A relatively small percentage of men have low testosterone as the primary cause of their sexual issues.
Dr. Bajic says this is why it's so important for men to go in for routine checkups, which the survey shows they are not doing. 55% say they don't get regular health screenings.
I think what we find is that men tend to be more reactive when issues arise and maybe less proactive. So by getting routine health screenings, by really understanding your health status, that things can be detected earlier on.
As Brittany Harris reporting, it's also important for men to know their family history.
Coming up, more cycling around the Triangle has helped contribute to big cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Go Triangle wants to highlight the people behind the effort. Just ahead, we preview the award show for those helping pedal us toward a cleaner future.
Plus, a six-year-old gets up on stage with Flo Rida. Yeah, how this wasn't the first time he's hung out with his favorite rapper.
Since 2009, there's been a big push in the Triangle to reduce air pollution and road congestion. That effort has cut carbon dioxide greenhouse gases by 617 million pounds through 2022. And to celebrate this accomplishment, Go Triangle is hosting the Golden Modes event at the Durham Arts Council. And joining us to talk about the event is Kim Johnson. Kim, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate having you here with us. First, talk to us about why this event is so important to you guys.
Well, every year, it is a great opportunity to just celebrate the people that we work so hard throughout the year to encourage to use sustainable modes of transportation. So when someone agrees to leave their car at home, to help to save the environment, and to reduce congestion by, you know, using a sustainable commute, biking, walking the bus, or carpooling, we have the opportunity to just celebrate them. And that's what Golden Modes is all about, is just recognizing them and just celebrating what they've done.
I love that. And how are your honorees chosen? How do you decide?
So we send out an email and we ask for people to nominate themselves we have two categories this year. We have the Golden Spokes for cyclists, and then we have the Golden Spokes for businesses. And the Golden Spoke for businesses is a nomination where we ask people to fill out the form, and then we call and do an interview, and then we do a blind voting. We send it out and have people to have our partners to read through, not knowing what the business is, and choose which one they feel best supports cycling and cyclists in the community. And for the Golden Spokes this year, it's based on their commute, their efforts, what they've done as far as offsetting the carbon emissions in the environment and the community.
And somebody at home that's watching this might be thinking, I know the perfect person. How can they nominate somebody for next year?
So just keep an eye out at gotriangle.org, and we will send out an alert when we begin to request nominations for the awards for next year.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And this Thursday, the event takes place. And walk us through what people can expect really quickly.
So we'll have a reception and just networking and some desserts and all that around 2:30 at the Durham Arts Council and registration. And then at 3:00, we'll begin the ceremony in the theater. And it'll be really nice. We have Mitch Silver, a principal planner from McAdams, speaking to the audience about infrastructure as well, and how it impacts transportation and how that just all works together. And so it'll be really nice. We'll celebrate the cyclists and celebrate the businesses as well as others in the community that are using other modes to commute sustainably in the Triangle.
All very well-deserved recognition there. Kim Johnson, thank you so much with Go Triangle. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Thank you both. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with how the rest of the day is shaping up. A look around town there.
Lots of views to take a peek at. We take a look at Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, Fayetteville. What we're seeing in most cases, of course, is that haze from the wildfires in Canada. Really seeing that here in Chapel Hill. A couple little puffy clouds showing up. That's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We are seeing a little bit more cloud cover here in Goldsboro and in Apex. We're going to continue to see those clouds building and potentially a few isolated storms, especially to the far south. Here's a look at Fayetteville. You can see some sunshine, plenty of shadow there. As you know, there's a bit of sun. We do have an update to our air quality. Earlier in the day, we had moderate air quality for today, or a yellow, and now we've moved to orange for almost the entire viewing area for today, all the way through the day tomorrow. So both today and tomorrow are now orange, and that means it's unhealthy for sensitive groups. And again, those sensitive groups would be children, young children, the elderly, anyone with asthma or respiratory issues, heart problems, that sort of thing. You want to limit your exposure outside today. But for the general public, any healthy adults, it would need to be code red for you to limit your exposure outside. And then at purple, it's unsafe for anyone to be outside. So we're kind of middle of the road, kind of level 3 out of 5 in terms of our air quality. And that's for almost the entire viewing area, everybody except for Sampson County. Sampson County is still at a yellow for today and tomorrow. We have our severe weather threat for today, and that has changed slightly. A little bit more of Sampson County included in that. Everything just sort of moved a little bit farther to the south. So this is going to be mainly 3 counties, Hope County, Cumberland County, and Sampson County in that level 1 severe risk for today. And then tomorrow, almost the same outline. Most of Sampson County, just a small part of Cumberland County for tomorrow's risk for severe storms. Here's a look at what's happening right now. We do have a boundary that's producing some scattered thunderstorms that's right there in South Carolina. What we're seeing here is a little bit of cloud cover. By 2 or 3 o'clock, there could be some isolated cells that develop well to the south. There's 3 p.m., and then that moves on by. It doesn't look like we're going to have widespread coverage in the even in the areas where we are under that level 1 risk. We take a look at tomorrow. Tomorrow looks a good bit wetter. Roll tomorrow forward. First thing in the morning, notice this is 7 a.m., a few isolated showers in the morning during the morning commute. And then once we get into the late afternoon, there's 4 p.m., there's 5 p.m., we start to see showers developing. They're going to hang in the northern part of the viewing area for a while. And then gradually, once we get past midnight, those will start to shift farther to the south. Rainfall totals for us tomorrow, likely to be around 1/4 inch on average. We have a good chance of seeing rain, about a 60% chance. Tropical outlook, 10% chance that system off the coast of Africa would develop, but again, a small, small chance. After we get past tomorrow, our next best chance for thunderstorms would be Sunday and Monday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Boy, what a big night for a young fan of Flo Rida. Coming up, the special gift a 6-year-old took home from the musician.
And here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. Good luck.